Hi there, welcome to our daily teaching video. Hey, in a moment I'm going to share a piece of my new online course, The Spirit-Filled Life. This is a course, a 12-part course, on how to live full and how to live in the overflow of the Holy Spirit. More details, check out the link below, but I know this is going to be a blessing to you. Hey, before we do that, real quick, let me show three quick announcements. Number one, please do subscribe wherever you're watching this, YouTube, podcasts, lots of different places. I'd love to have you as part of our online community. Secondly, I have an email newsletter I send out every Friday with news, updates, free things, books I'm reading, travel news, missions, lots of different things like that. And you can sign up for that with the link below. And we have a 3-hour teaching on how to hear God's voice. We'd love to get into your inbox when you subscribe for our email newsletter. Lastly, let me just mention my ministry school. I have an online ministry school, ministryschool.net, that is aimed at helping believers develop and grow in their faith in God. This is a faith ministry school. We have lots of individual courses and a monthly subscription. We have a group, a private mentoring group that meets using a Zoom call once a month and has question and answer, lots of different things there. So do check that out below. Right, let's jump into this lesson on the Spirit-filled life. That's what happened at the day of Pentecost. My friend, if you're a born-again believer, God wants you to be part of that group. That's what Peter says in Acts 3, where he preaches a sermon and he says from Samuel, who was really the first revivalist, all the way down through Zechariah, God had these prophets. And then Peter turns to the people of Israel and he says, you are the heirs of the prophets. You are the, in French we say, les héritiers. You have the heritage of the prophets that have been given to us. Guys, I have the same Holy Spirit Moses had. I have the same Holy Spirit Elijah had, Elisha had. I have the same Holy Spirit that David had. I have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. Hallelujah. I have the same Holy Spirit that Peter and Paul and James and John and Stephen had. And we need to learn and to adapt our version of Christianity to this version of Christianity. Yeah, let's talk about the life of Jesus for a minute. Jesus is born of the Spirit. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, he brings a word, if you will, to Mary. What does Mary say? Be it unto me according to your word. She received the word of God. And then the angel said, if you'll receive the word, the power of the Almighty will overshadow you. Jesus was born of the Spirit, by the word and by the Spirit. Mary received the word, the Spirit of God birthed, conceived Jesus, if you will, in the womb of Mary. So Jesus, from the second of conception, all the way through his life, he is a child of God. He's a son of God. He's also the son of man in his role, in his mission, in his identity. And yet from birth all the way through to age 30, Jesus didn't do one miracle. Jesus never healed anybody. Jesus never accomplished anything, if you will. At age 30, Jesus is baptized in water and he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he goes into the desert full of the Spirit. He comes out of the desert in the power of the Spirit. And I really want you to see this. From that moment, Jesus is born of God. He didn't need to be born again because he never died in that sense till his death on Calvary. But Jesus was born of God from age birth to age 30. And yet from age 30 to age 33 and a half, he's filled with the Spirit and he ministers in the power of God. And what the church has done is we've looked at the life and ministry of Jesus and we've looked with admiration and we've looked and we've gone, wow, isn't it wonderful what Jesus did? Oh, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. Jesus never ministered as the Son of God. Jesus ministered as the Son of Man, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit was poured out and the same Spirit that was upon Jesus, the same Holy Spirit, the same baptism, the same power, the same gifts, the same anointing, the anointing of the Messiah. We are the body of the Anointed One. Hallelujah. That Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And that Spirit is available to you and I. And we see in Acts, the book of Acts, a church without organization, a church without money, a church without much hierarchy or many systems, without a lot of even written scriptures in that sense, but filled with the power of the Spirit, turning the world upside down. They said in Acts 17, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Yeah. What happens after the death of the apostles into the first century, second century, third century? You know, really, I've got to be brief here today, but as we look at church history, what you see is as the scriptures began taking away out of the church, without the preaching of the word, the power of the Spirit begins to diminish in the life of the church. Now, I would challenge you and say this. If you look all the way through church history and actually the last 2,000 years of human history, all the way through, you will see Christians, you'll see men, you'll see women who experience that same baptism in the Spirit as the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. In every century, if you doubt that, I can give you a PDF file with lists and, you know, the writings of the church father. Augustine, when he was an early Christian, he doubted whether prophecy and healing and tongues were still current in the life of the church. And later on, he writes and he apologizes and he said, no, I just hadn't seen those things. But now as I've traveled, I see God is still doing these things in the life of the church. My family's originally from the little nation of Wales. And, you know, the patron saint of Wales, not that we need a saint, but the kind of the father of Wales is called St. David of Wales, like Patrick in Ireland. And then I believe it was the 6th century, David, who was this young man who was really hungry for God, decided he'd make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to get more of God. And it was a dangerous time, of course, to travel that far by foot, by donkey, horse, whatever. And David left Wales and traveled over to Gaul, which is northern France. And there are three different historians who say when ye father David landed in France, he met Christians there who were filled with the Spirit. They prayed for him. He was filled with the Spirit. And these historians say, you check it out, it says, ye holy father David spake with tongues as did the apostles of old. And David decided he didn't need to go to Jerusalem. He already had the fullness of God. He turned around, came back to Wales and preached revival. Hallelujah. All the way through church history, we've had this exceptions, if you will. Usually those people have been treated like, sometimes like forerunners, but usually like weird and wonderful people. You'll get people like Madame Jean Guyon, people who experienced God and were persecuted by the church because the church was no longer teaching the Bible. What happened? Let's zoom forward. Just over 100 years ago now in Topeka, Kansas, there was a Bible school there led by a man named Charles Parham. And he began teaching with his students a class on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And to be really honest, this man, Charles Parham, didn't really know himself what he was talking about. And at the end of the year 1900, for the Christmas vacation, he set a devoir, he set a homework assignment for his students. And he said, I want you to go and read through the Gospels, the Acts, the Epistles, find every reference to being filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and what it actually means, what it looks like. Gather all those things, and then we'll come back in January and we'll discuss this together. And it's interesting, everybody came back with basically the same lesson. They said there are all these different accounts of being filled with the Spirit, but they said it seems like everybody who gets filled with the Spirit speaks in tongues. And they began discussing and saying, well, why is it that nobody in the church today speaks in tongues? And this group of students, about 30 students with the teacher, said, well, we're going to start fasting and praying and asking God to give us that same experience the early church had. And they prayed for about 3 days. And after 3 days, a little lady called Agnes began speaking in tongues. And it's interesting, she actually spoke in Mandarin Chinese, which she knew not one word of. And the whole class, including the teacher, were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting, there was a young black man called William Seymour. And because of racism, let's call it what it is, in that day, he wasn't allowed to come into the class. And he'd sit outside. They'd let him sit outside in the doorway and listen to the lessons. Shame, shame, shame. I love the fact he was filled with the Spirit as well. He went back to Los Angeles, California, and rented a feed barn in Azusa Street, Los Angeles. And it's interesting, God used the one-eyed little black boy who wasn't even allowed into the class to spark off what has been one of the greatest revivals. You know, God began pouring his spirit out in Azusa Street, California. It's interesting. People came from all over the world to that tiny little grain store, if you will, like a barn in Azusa Street, and were filled with that spirit, a mighty Pentecostal revival happened for the next 50 years. You know, in the late 50s, 60s, and early 70s, suddenly that same experience that had been limited, if you will, to Pentecostals, the Assemblies of God, Church of God in Christ, everything's like that, suddenly went mainstream, and you had Episcopalians, Catholics, Methodists, Baptists, you know, people of every denomination filled with the Spirit. One of the books I'd encourage anybody to read, really important historic book in a way, is a book called 9 o'clock in the Morning, written by an Episcopalian priest called Father Bennett. And Bennett talks about meeting two young people. He's a parish priest, if you will, loves God, had a born-again experience, but he talks about meeting these young people. And these young people are just so full and overflowing with joy. And after a while, he can't stand it. He says, "What is it with you guys? What have you got that I don't have?" And they said, "We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We speak in tongues." And they prayed for him. He received that same experience. My friend, you can receive that same experience. Every member of the body of Christ needs to receive that same experience of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Our challenge today is like so many things in life, the church has institutionalized that experience. There are Pentecostal churches who have no more life and flow of the miraculous power of God than any other church in town. And God wants to lead us into that experience. We'll explore that more in the next lesson. But also, he wants to teach us to stay in the main, to maintain, if I could put it that way, the fullness, the freshness, the overflowing of that experience of the Holy Spirit. And in the next lesson, we're going to explore really in a practical way how we do that together. So my challenge for you today is let's get hungry for God. Let's be dissatisfied with a powerless life. The world doesn't mind you believing in God, as long as your beliefs are impersonal and powerless and don't affect anybody around you. And God has called his ministers to be flames of fire who bring change and transformation everywhere we go in Jesus' name. Hey, check back with me in lesson number 2. Do go over those notes and pray over some of these things because they are life-changing. Bye for now. Well, thanks for watching, and remember you can download the whole course. There'll be a link below on our website, ministryschool.net. I have a special offer on this course at the moment, and I know it will be a blessing to you. Remember to hit the subscribe button, sign up for our email newsletter, and do check out our ministry and all the links below. Thank you for watching. We'll be back tomorrow with another lesson.